Good morning. It is still morning, isn't it? Yeah. You get two readings this morning, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. And the Old Testament reading is from 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 10 to 14. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." And the New Testament one is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 6 to 15. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it's written, "They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever." Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Just before I begin, there was another picture somebody had. You know that experience when you get the Christmas tree lights out and they're all tangled up and the light won't go on? Well, just an assurance that God is really good at untangling things. And for your light to go on, trust him, because he will help undo the knots. So just wanted to pass that on at this point. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, which actually helps us to untangle things in our lives, that we may believe and trust in those truths that have been inspired by your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you'll apply them to us today, that we can undo a few more knots in our lives and live in a way that glorifies you. Amen. Amen. Okay. Put the first slide up. I saw this was a post on Facebook which impacted me. So it says, please read slowly. I'll read it out. You can just about make the words out, but I'll read it out. It says, if you have food in your fridge, clothes on your body, and a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the entire world. If you have money in your wallet and you can go anywhere you want, you are among 18% of the world's most wealthy people. If you are alive today, just checking, and healthy, you are more blessed than millions of people who will not survive this week and die. If you can actually read and understand this message, you are more fortunate than the 3 billion people in the world who are blind, deaf, or illiterate. It's an astonishing statistic, isn't it? Life is not about complaining. Life is about thousands of other reasons to be grateful and happy. Amen. Could have left it there. Well, I'm going to start where Keith left off last week when he spoke to us on the subject, worship is praising. And those two verses from Ephesians 5. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Sing and make music from your heart. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So God knows it's good for us to do that, and we did that together. And thank you, Mary, as well, for your contribution with an echo of the Salvation Army. But it was wonderful, wasn't it? It talks about cymbals and tambourines in the psalms, using everything we've got to express our praise. And those who are gifted musically, I was at the back of the queue when that gift was handed out. But what a gift it is to those of us who find it hard to... I know the note in my head, but there's a gap between there and my mouth. But when those have got the gift, leaders, we can all join in. So thank you to those who do that. Praise and giving thanks. We might call this an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. It came to my mind the story from Luke's Gospel when Jesus healed 10 men with leprosy. These men had called out to Jesus, Jesus, have pity on us. You know, they were outcasts from society. Their bodies, their skin was awful. They could barely live, really. They were desperate. And Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And that's what somebody who would heal would do. They would show themselves to the priest. And as simply as they did that and went, because they, if they were going to the priest, they must have known that they would be healed. And it says, when they went, they were healed, all 10 of them. And it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back to Jesus, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And I love this bit because Jesus said, where are the other 9 then? He got a 10% return, didn't he? You know, in his humanity, I think he was quite disappointed that only one took the trouble to give thanks. All 10 had been blessed, but only one came back to show an attitude of gratitude. This guy was expressing worship. So we've got 2 readings. So clearly read to us by Bernard, one from the Old, one from the New Testament. So I'm going to look at the Old Testament one, then the New one. So as we think of worship is giving, today's theme, so we had worship is praising, worship is giving, and we're now going to look at King David. He was expressing worship. David had a vision to build a temple to worship God in Jerusalem. He didn't actually build it. His son Solomon did, but David gathered the resources. He knew it needed. We needed to pay for this. And it says that he gave his own gold and silver. He led the way by giving an offering. And then he asked, who's willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord? And he called on the leaders of the families to make the family groups to come with the offerings from those groups, the leaders bringing the offerings in. And it says they all gave freely of their gold, silver, bronze, and precious stones. And we're told David rejoiced greatly at their willing response. He was over the moon. He was well pleased. He was chuffed. It was a great day in the office. He'd led the way himself, and he saw an amazing response to fulfill this vision that God had given him. And he praised the Lord in the presence of all the people. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And we've only given you what came from you in the first place. That was his statement of praise. It's a recognition that we only have what we have because God gave it to us in the first place. So here we see a direct link between giving of our wealth, financial giving, and worship. As we saw when our stewards and the children brought the offering forward this morning. Often, if you did the Anglican liturgy by the book, we would use these words every week. We often pray for the offering, not publicly, because we're trusting people to respond by their own hearts. We still offer the money to God and pray that whatever it's been used for and spent on in the past, it will be used for God's purposes now. Sometimes we make that point. I think if you do it all the time, you kind of miss it because it's just routine. But I remember feeling like King David. I do every time we have a gift day here for something. For example, the colour project to the memoirs through murals. I'm just so moved by the generosity of the people of this church when there are those calls to give for a specific need. Now, let's consider some principles about giving that are from the New Testament. We always look at the Old Testament through the eyes of the New, and we read the New Testament in the light of the Old. So the Old Testament is not redundant, it's absolutely necessary, but we look at it through the eyes of the New, and the Old Testament gives us the context for the New Testament, the transition being the ministry of Jesus and the ministry in the life of the Spirit, which have superseded living under rules of law. So this passage, the second passage, was taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and it's that part which Bernard read is a conclusion of a lengthy two-chapter appeal to the Christians in Corinth to contribute to a collection that Paul is making for the church in Jerusalem, which at that time was in financial difficulty, and is exhorting the Corinthians to join in. So I recommend that you read the whole of 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. You maybe get a chance to do that this week, it'll only take you 5 minutes, but it will give the full context to the bit that was read. And to see the key theme running through these two chapters is generosity. Generosity. So from these verses, verses 6 to 15, there are a number of points that we can see are the result of generosity. So the first point in verse 8 is that if you're generous, you will actually have all you need as well as those that you give to. You will be able to do many good things to help others when you're generous. I mean, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? But it is there in the text. But But it's great to think, if you give, you won't be deficient. The giver, their benefits that we have for living God's way, are enlarged, it says. We take hold of more of God's benefits by living his way when we're generous. It is indeed an expression of worship in thanksgiving to God, verse 12. Verse 13, it's a witness to others who will worship and praise God. It's a bit like it says in Matthew chapter 6, let your good deeds be seen before men, before men and women. And then people will glorify your Father in heaven. So it's a demonstration of obedience to the gospel. Also verse 13, being generous, it's a matter of obedience as well. And it brings favour with others. And quite a lot of that was lived out through our interaction with the Colley Road Community Group through the Lights Up Project. So Paul ends this section with an attitude of gratitude. He says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And Paul's referring back to earlier in chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And grace, essentially the Greek word there translated as grace, also means gift. For you know the gift, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. There's a divine exchange going on. Now, when we were a young married couple, our vicar constantly used to say, the last part of a person to be converted is their pocket. I found this A, disturbing, B, annoying, and C, challenging. And being a Yorkshireman, believe you me, it was even harder. Because, you know, we raise special unknown species of moths in our wallets in Yorkshire. And also, I would say for me, having parents who were involved, grew up in the 30s depressions, who knew rationing, the Second World War rationing going on from that, and who were not believers. So therefore, the concept of putting money, giving money to a church was regarded as probably the next step from insanity. So there's a journey that Wendy and I had to go on. Well, I had to go on. Wendy was from Essex, so she's always been generous. But money is basically a way of quantifying our priorities. Money is a way of putting a number by our priorities. How we spend money reveals our values, what we think is important. Jesus gave his life so that we can be free of guilt, shame, from the influence of the evil one, and free from the fear of death. Jesus gave his life so we can live life to the full. That is the indescribable gift for which Paul gives thanks. Jesus paid a cost he did not owe for a price we cannot pay. Jesus paid a cost he did not owe for a price we cannot pay. The same vicar I mentioned used to say that as well. Interesting how these little phrases stick with you. So our offering of money at our services is an act of worship in itself. It is a way of expressing our gratitude to Jesus. I think it's really important to remember that financial giving is an act of worship. It's an act of giving thanks to Jesus. It is not a price paid for a service offered. We give this money so the church will do that. Because we are the church. You know, there isn't. We are all the church. So if you think the church does something, if you give some money, that's akin to going to the hairdresser and giving them a tip. Because we are the church and we're offering our worship together. We don't give the money primarily to maintain this building. Although, of course, it's good to look after this building because it's a great asset to us. It's a great resource. But we don't give it for that first and foremost. We give the money to show thankfulness to God and for all he's given us, spiritually in Christ and materially, because we've just found out we're probably mostly in the top 18% of wealthy people in the world. And of course, the generosity leads us to being able to do many things together to bless others. So generosity is a value of God's kingdom and those who follow Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom. Generosity is a vehicle for God's will to be done on earth as in heaven. And generosity is good for the soul, for yours and for mine. So I'd just like to relay to you a recent experience of mine. We are the proud possessors of a coupon from Tesco. So if you spent more than £60 today, you can have 10p off per litre of fuel at one of our stations. And so we were in a rush getting back here for something, but we went a bit out of our way and went into Gallows Corner Tesco, which is a bit of an operation in its own right, getting into the petrol station there. And it said pay at pump only, because something had gone wrong, so you couldn't redeem your 10p. And more than that, the machine refused to give me a receipt proving that I had done so. Anyway, I popped into the kiosk and I said, oh, could I have my 10p off? And I haven't got a receipt. So I can print you a receipt. I said, but you have to go to customer services. Well, you know, it's a day out going in that Tesco. I mean, I feel ill when I go in that Tesco. It is so big that I feel overwhelmed just stepping through the door, let alone going to customer services and pleading my 10p. And we were in a rush because we were trying to get back something. Anyway, mood getting grumpy, came back. But I then thought the next day, oh, I'll just pop up to Tesco in Collier Row and redeem my 10p per litre to get my £4.60 back. And the lady said, don't know about that. I think I'll have to get the supervisor. Anyway, I bought something for £20 and she gave me £10 change at the moment the supervisor arrived. And very politely he explained, since they haven't got a petrol station at Collier Row Tesco, you have to actually go to one with a petrol station. So I could not redeem my money. Anyway, for my £4.60. Anyway, I got home and I could not find the £10 change. Because I think and I know she gave it to me, but as I was talking to the supervisor, I think I must have dropped it. So I did pop back, but it wasn't there. And I only hope the person who got it, you know, was using it for good purposes. But I was in a very bad mood, I'm telling you. Not only did I have all this hassle over my getting my money back for my litres, but I lost 10 quid as well. I thought I might as well have just bought petrol somewhere conveniently. And then a little voice, which I think came from heaven, said, get a perspective, get a life. And I was convicted about my, you know, the nature of the flesh to be really worried about the money. I thought, that was good preparation, Lord, for this sermon. He knew. He wanted to give me an example. Anyway, I want to give another example now. So those of you who are in Ignite know that you're being called forward for a purpose. So if you would be kind enough just to come up to the front to help me with this, it would be brilliant. Thank you. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sacrifice one of you on the altar. No, I'm not. What I've got here is... I'll go on to this one, okay? I've got an envelope here. Yep, I've got an envelope here. So I'm going to give this envelope to the person who is now an adult, which is Emily, because she's just crossed the 18. Woohoo! you could open it, Emily. It's not a birthday present. Would you like to give it to somebody to count? Keep it in the family, definitely.
£100,
okay. So, Luke, what I'd like you to do is to take £10, okay? And I'd like you to go and pop that in one of the collection baskets on the communion table. One's from the 9 o'clock, one's from the 10:30. Fantastic. Okay, so £10 has gone. So, Ganahu, could you check how much is left there? Just double check this. 90 is still left. So this is the principle of tithing, giving 10%. And what God says, if you give your tithe, you can keep 90% of it to do whatever you want with. That's pretty good, isn't it? 90%, that's pretty good. So what I'd like you to do as a group is to keep that money, and for you then, not today, but next time you meet, to decide what you want to do with that 90 quid. Does that make sense? Okay. So I think we have to give it back to an adult. So you have to give it back to Emily, who will look after it. Because we 100% trust Emily. And next time you meet, you can do whatever you want, anything. But we would just like to know what you decide to do in due course. Okay? Maybe in the new year we can come back to it when you decide. We don't have to have it done by then, but to decide what it is you're going to do with that money, and then we're going to just see what happens. Okay? Thank you very much, guys. Thank you. Now, we are not under law. I just want to keep saying that. There are those who say that the tithe has been superseded by the new covenant because we're not under law. The interesting thing, the tithe is introduced before the law is given chronologically. So when Abraham had to defeat some people who were threatening his family, this mysterious character called Melchizedek appeared. He says he was a priest of the Lord. And it says that he blessed Abraham, and it says he gave him a tithe. So before the law was ever given that you must give that amount of money, seems that the principle of the 10%, the tithe, is written into creation in some way. However, we're not under the law, so we are not compelled to give the 10%. I'll come back to that. Malachi, in the last book, the penultimate chapter of the Old Testament, is having a sort of debate with God as to why the nation is in a mess. And if you think the nation was, there was no difference between the nation and being a follower of Yahweh. We are the nation now, in the sense the church is the nation, because we are the followers, we're the seed of Abraham, we follow the one true God. The nation was in a mess, and we might look at the church nationally and the decline and say, perhaps the church is in a bit of a mess as well. I mean, there are bright spots, but, you know, the declining numbers, etc. Anyway, this is what it says. Will a mere mortal rob God? Let me just put the picture up. Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And Keith actually kind of used a New Testament version of that when you're generous, when you give, it will be given to you pressed down and overflowing. So it's a promise in God's word that if we're generous, we will be absolutely overflowing with blessing. Now, I thought what I would do is to tell you what Wendy and I do with our financial giving. We give 10% of our income on the first banking day of every month, because we're saying we're giving first before we spend on anything else. And we do that by standing order. You don't have to do it that way. You can you can give it in actual cash, but that we've chosen to do that. And we give that 10% entirely to the church, to God, through the Church of the Good Shepherd. This, for us, is a discipline to show that we trust God to provide for us and our family. But it is not legalistic. We are not under the law. So we then give our offering on top of that as the Spirit leads us. For example, donation to the Colour Project, to other worthy causes, or, for example, to the seniors' lunch. That is an offering on top of the tithe. When we were first Christians, we did not tithe, A, because we didn't know, because we hadn't been taught, but also all our money was tied up in mortgage and small children. However, every time we had a pay increase or some other adjustment to our finances, we made an adjustment in that direction so that we could make it possible. We have never gone short, and we have far more than we need. God is true to his word and has poured an abundant blessing on us. Now, I'm not telling you that so you think, oh, the vicar's good, he does his thing. I'm telling you it because it's a testimony to God's goodness and the truth of his word. That's why I'm telling you. But also, I am struck that King David led by example. But I do want to stress again, we're not under the law. And I think a key New Testament principle is this. And we put this on the screen every time the offering is taken. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So what we give is got to be in our hearts, our conscience. It's between us and God. I have no idea who gives what at this church. There's about one or two people know who manage the finances, but I don't know and I don't want to know. It's between you and God. As Wesley's, I'm challenged by Wesley, because as his income increased, what he did, he ended up giving 90% away and just keeping 10%. And the woman who put two small infinitesimal copper coins in gave 100% of that story. I just want to say today, if you've not made a decision to follow Jesus, please don't give anything. Because it's not expected of you. If you're a visitor here today and you're a Christian somewhere else, give it through your own church. Now, I'm sure that for some of you sitting there, there are lots of thoughts and questions going through your mind about what this raises and how you manage your own money. And is this reasonable? Well, I'm convinced biblically that it is. But what I've done is, in the COGS News, I've done some frequently asked questions, which you can take away and look at, which I hope will answer at least probably the most likely questions to be asked. I'll take just one, and you might say, well, look, I give my time for free, stuff I do at the church, and when I pay for stuff for the ministry I'm involved with, and I don't claim it back, so that's a way of giving. Well, to start with, I have to say that time and money are different categories. And Jesus talks a lot about money, actually. And we are actually talking about money, not about time. You say, I volunteer. Well, there aren't any volunteers in this church because you serve the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. This isn't a charity that you volunteer for. You are servants of the Lord Most High, and therefore you work for him. So the concept of volunteering is not an appropriate concept. Let me tell you how I resolve that, because I claim expenses. So what I could do is net off my expenses, and there's only one transaction. It sounds reasonable, doesn't it? And give less. But I look at it that there's a verse that says that when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. A part of that saying is actually you don't want to blow your trumpet about what you give. And I'm not mentioning how much I give in pounds, because I'm talking of, it's the biblical principle of proportionality, which is very much there in the New Testament as well. So that applies to anybody. And if you haven't got much, your 10%'s a little bit. And if you've got lots, your 10%'s more. But it's the proportion that God's interested in. But don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. So the way that God spoke to me about it is, I decide what I give him as an act of worship. And then I work out what I've spent and what I need to claim back. So the two things don't connect at all. And then also, that does help us know the cost of ministry that collectively we're deciding to spend on as a church. And if you don't claim your money back, then if you moved on, well, what about the person who takes over from you? If they can't afford to do what you're doing, then it would mean there would be a deficit for the church. So we mustn't confuse worship and the financing of ministry. So what's given to God as worship here at the Good Shepherd is stewarded by our church council. So you have to have a method of deciding corporately how the money is spent, because we are the body of Christ here. We're not a collection of individuals, but we come together as a combined body, a unit. And the church council is the way we decide how the money is spent to resource the mission and ministry which we believe God has called us to together, flowing from our communal life of worship. It all begins with worship. And as I said earlier, the people of the Good Shepherd, honestly, so generous. Especially when it comes to those one-off gifts. But that's slightly different, though, because if you give once for that specific thing, you can think, oh, yeah, that's okay, I can afford that. But that commitment of regular giving month by month is a real statement of faith that you'll have enough. And over the last 12 months or so, some of the long-standing Christians have retired, moved away. Some people have moved house and moved to a different area. So it has meant that there's been a drop in our regular giving over the year compared to what we budgeted. But you know, God's God, he's sovereign. He knows what's right for those people. He knows what's right for here. But what I'm going to do is just ask Steve, who's part of our finance team, Steve Allen, just to give us just some brief information about the practicalities of giving as part of our worship. This is very brief, and my heart is that this sermon is about the principles, but just some practicality about how you might land this as the Spirit leads you, Steve will give to us now.
Thanks, David. Morning, everyone. So David's asked me to talk with you very briefly about the Parish Giving Scheme. Now, Parish Giving Scheme, or PGS, is a diocesan-funded and supported scheme to encourage and manage regular giving. Now, I was hoping to show you a very short video that gives an overview of the scheme, but we have had some technical difficulties downloading the video, so we'll give it a try. And if it doesn't work, then I'm afraid you'll have to put up with me giving you a verbal overview instead. But let's see, first of all, whether the video works. Thanks, Terry.
The Parish Giving Scheme, or PGS for short, is a simple and easy way for you to support your local church. Using a professional donation management system, PGS offers a secure way for your church to receive gifts and gift aid on a regular basis. So how does it work? Honoring the first fruits principle, gifts are sent to the PGS on the first of the month via direct debit. The gift is then forwarded to your church by the 10th of the month, and any eligible gift aid is sent separately once received from HMRC. You can make changes to your giving whenever you want, simply by contacting the PGS support team or logging into your online account. You can also choose to have your gift automatically increase each year in line with inflation. PGS helps reduce the burden on our church volunteers, provides a professional service to its givers, and most importantly, helps parishes fund their mission and ministry. PGS, the better way to encourage giving in your church.
Thanks, Terry. So in summary then, you know, there are a number of advantages to giving via this scheme. So from the, you know, the giver's point of view, it's safe and secure, you know, as you would expect. But it also facilitates the payments by a direct debit, which gives, you know, the giver greater flexibility versus the kind of the standard standing order kind of giving scheme. Secondly, but not necessarily less importantly, there's a number of advantages to Tim Nudd's and to the financial team in terms of simplified accounting, reduced administration, and it facilitates a better cash flow as well, because the gift aid is reclaimed on a monthly basis rather than on a quarterly basis, so we get that money you know, more frequently. In summary, it really is you know, the optimal way for those of us who want to give to give to the church. So I'd like to encourage you really you know, whether you are a regular giver who isn't currently using the scheme, or whether you're someone who isn't currently giving on a regular basis but you'd like to consider doing so, to consider giving via this scheme. So to that end, there are a number of PGS packs which you'll find on the welcome desk out there in the foyer. It gives you, you know, an overview, and hopefully gives you all of the information that you need. It also contains one of these forms that you'll need to complete. Just a little bit of personal information and obviously bank information as well. It takes about 5 minutes to complete that. You can either send it off to the diocese, or I'm sure if you pass it to myself or to Tim or to the church office, we can make sure that gets sent off for you. One other quick thing to say is about gift aid. I'm sure most of you will be aware of what gift aid is, but if you're not, gift aid is a government scheme that enables charity donations, that enables the tax on charity donations to be passed on to the charity. So obviously COGS is a charity. If you were to give COGS £100 and you happen to be a UK taxpayer, then COGS can actually claim back £25, which will make the total amount given £125, even though you only gave £100 of that. So £25 is actually free money as a result of the gift aid scheme initiative. So again, if you're giving to the church and you're a UK taxpayer, but you're not signed up for the gift aid scheme, again, can I encourage you to do that? The leaflets are again out at the back there on the desk in the foyer. Please complete the form. As I say, it's free money, and I'll either give it to myself or pass it to the church office, and that will be one way in which we can increase the income of the church without anyone other than the government having to put their hand in their pocket. Thank you.
So, quick conclusion. This verse, which was read out, it's the law of sowing and reaping. It's a spiritual law which is as reliable as the law of gravity. It's a spiritual truth, and as much as you sit under an apple tree and an apple will fall on your head because of gravity, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. just like hearts on Instagram, likes on Facebook, the more you do, the more you'll get. The more Christmas cards you send, the more you get. It's kind of, it just works. But if you sow judgment of others, you will reap judgment of you. If you show mercy to others, mercy will be shown to you. If you are bitter, you will experience bitterness. But if you are forgiving, you will know forgiveness from others. If you are critical, you will be criticized. But if you encourage others, you'll find people encourage you. If you're mean, people will be mean to you. If you're generous, they'll be generous to you. And even if they're not, you've done the right thing anyway. But it's a law, so it will happen, just like gravity. Because we don't sow with motivation of what we'll get back, we don't know. It's an act of faith. We don't know how we might reap or when. It's true that we will, but that can't be the motivation for doing it. It's because it's the right thing to do. Giving is always an act of faith. But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Our response to the gift of Jesus is to respond in faith. And that's a free choice. And the writer to Hebrews says it's by faith that we please God. God knows, that's why God hasn't made it so simple for us just to believe. Because he wants us to have faith. He won't 100% allow us to prove his existence, because he wouldn't be God if we could, because we would be. So there's always a degree of mystery, and we have to have faith for it to work. But God knows that's good for us. That's why it pleases God. He wants us to have faith. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Final word to King David. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we've given you only what comes from your hand. So I'm just going to leave just a little bit of space for us just to think about those things. As we go from here, and as we end this year and contemplate the new one, your spirit will be speaking to each one of us. And that without compulsion, we will each choose what's right to give in our own heart. And you will make that possible. That we might put our money where our mouth is, as we sing your praises. Amen.
Thank you, David, and for others taking part this morning. Yes, worship is praising as well as giving. We're going to worship the Lord now as we sing a couple of songs, and then we shall bring our service to a conclusion. Thank you.